Brother Michael and Brother Peter Diamond with you this Tuesday night. We're going to be covering actually a sermon by Bishop Daniel Dolan of Ohio, who is a pretty well-known, quote, traditional Catholic bishop. One of his talks that he gave was on the issue of, is it necessary to receive water baptism to be saved and be Catholic? And so we're going to be examining this particular sermon tonight, and because a lot of people try to say that we're too hard for telling people that they can't contribute to priests that promote that people can be saved in other religions. It's just too hard. They offer the Mass, or they hold the sit of a contest position, which Bishop Dolan does hold the sit of a contest position, and also rejects the new, quote, sacraments that have been promulgated by the post-Vatican II Church. So he does hold some true positions, and many of the sit of a contest priests across the country hold the right positions on some issues, but almost all of them, to a man, hold the position that people can be saved in other religions, believe in baptism of desire and blood, promote natural family planning, and some of them are quite vociferous about how they believe that they're right about this and have denounced those who hold the correct position that you have to be a baptized Catholic to be saved. And one of those persons that has done that is Bishop Daniel Dolan. So he's not even a bishop that someone could even go to receive the sacraments from, because he has denounced those who would hold the correct Catholic position that you have to be a baptized Catholic to be saved, as we shall see. So we want to actually play part of this talk he gave and give some quick commentary at certain points.
And so we'll go to the first clip now from this sermon.
Have you ever noticed when the conversation gets around to religion, if you try to explain why you can't go to Uncle Charlie's third remarriage, or why you believe that Christ founded just one church, somebody is always going to say, "Why, you're saying that I'm going to hell." I always find that curious. If we don't bring it up, someone else will. And I suppose one's reaction would be, well, now that you do bring it up. But we are not here to send the people to hell. That is not our job. Some Catholics think it is.
Now, we're just going to stop it right there and offer a few comments, because he's already, in the beginning of this discussion, starting to call into question the defined truth that all who die as non-Catholics are lost. He brings up the example of a person who's asking the Catholic, "So you're saying I'm going to go to hell?" And he's using as his example a person who's involved in a third marriage. Well, obviously that person's on the road to hell, as are all who are outside the church. And so a Catholic in charity would have to say, "Yes, you certainly are going to go to hell, and I tell you that in charity, and that's why you have to enter the church." But he immediately at the beginning of this sermon is calling this question, because he says it's not our job. Well, what could that mean? In other words, it's not our job to tell the person that, yes, you will go to hell if you remain on this path. And what we're going to show throughout this sermon, which we're going to quote from, is that he reduces this truth, outside the church there is no salvation, to a meaningless formula. By the time this heretic is finished with it, it means nothing. And then he goes on his assault on those who actually believe in what this truth says, and actually believe in the infallible proclamation of the church on this teaching. And so we're going to go to the next clip of his sermon.
We're talking about them today, but that's not our job. Our job is to explain the plan our Lord has to send us to heaven by means of the church, one church, ark of salvation, outside of which there is shipwreck and no salvation to be found. All of the other religions are man-made and are inspired by hell. They teach doctrines of devils, which separate men from the truth. Our job is to teach the faith in its purity. It is not to sit in judgment of others. People send themselves to hell. They seem to be doing a pretty good job of it today. But we don't need to add anything to that.
Now, this is an interesting clip we just heard because, like all the other heretics, Dolan professes to adhere to this truth. They know they must reaffirm the slogan, outside the church there is no salvation, so he does that. But again, he immediately calls it into question by saying, we cannot sit in judgment of others. Well, what could that possibly mean in this context? Obviously, it means that we cannot judge whether these people who are non-Catholics are actually going to hell. Yes, there's no salvation outside the church, but we just don't know. And as we continue, we'll see that that's exactly what he says. And so we'll go to the next clip of this sermon.
But we can, by our prayers and by our words, help souls to go to heaven the only way they can, in union with the Catholic Church. What about those, one might say, who don't know any better, who are invincibly ignorant?
Okay, he starts to introduce the concept of invincible ignorance, and we'll see in this next clip how he says that this term was used infallibly by the Church, which is not true, it's a falsehood. So I just want to make that point, and we'll continue with this clip.
This is the term infallibly used by the Church, her popes and her theologians. By Pope Pius IX and Pope Pius XII, in particular, have taught that no one goes to hell except through his own fault, through his own culpable sin, and no one goes to heaven except through our Lord. How does that work out in practical terms? We don't know. We leave it to the mercy of God, which is immense, enough for us to follow the divine plan. Heretics are never satisfied with following the divine plan, but always have to have some original thought to improve upon it.
Okay, there are a number of things to comment on in this section. Number one, he says we don't know. Exactly as I was talking about previously, that he doesn't know who's saved, even though he just claimed to believe that outside the church there is no salvation. He doesn't know. So obviously, the impression given is that a Buddhist, a Jew, a Hindu could make it. He then says that Pius IX and Pope Pius XII in particular have taught that no one goes to hell except through his own fault. Well, that's absolutely true. It does not therefore follow to say that people who are ignorant of the gospel can be saved. That's a non sequitur. The church teaches that people who are left in ignorance of the gospel and who die outside the church are left in such ignorance of the truths they must have for salvation precisely because they commit deliberate sins of bad will. So those who go to the fires of hell, the pagan on the island, he does so because of his lack of charity, because of his lack of honesty, because of the other sins which he commits, which God sees, and therefore prevents God from giving him the grace to find out about the gospel and come into the church. So to say that no one goes to hell except through his own fault is not to prove anything. And he also says that heretics are never satisfied with following the divine plan, but always have to have some original thought to improve upon it. And this is the height of hypocrisy here, because that's exactly what he's doing. He's coming up with his own original thought, which contradicts what all of tradition said about people who die outside the church and what the infallible definitions say, that he doesn't know, that we just don't know. People who are ignorant could make it. And so we'll just continue with this next clip here.
Such is the case of a group of heretics in our midst who are known as the Feeneyites, the followers of an excommunicated Jesuit, Father Leonard Feeney. He was a writer and a poet, wrote some nice poetry, but he got all mixed up when it came to theology.
Okay, he talks about Father Feeney being mixed up when it comes to theology. Meanwhile, he's the one saying that outside the church there's no salvation is true, but we just don't know and we cannot judge whether these non-Catholics are saved. That is being mixed up.
And maybe you want to talk about, he says that the term is infallibly used before.
Well, yes, and he makes reference to Pius IX and theologians. Well,
speaking of invincible ignorance.
Yeah, and in the book, Outside the Catholic Church, there is absolutely no salvation. We have a whole section on Pope Pius IX and how the heretics try to use two fallible, non-dogmatic statements that he made on this topic. Do not even state that people who are invincibly ignorant of the gospel can be saved. The one statement, Quanto confessior more mirare, states that those who are ignorant of the truth of the gospel can, by the operating power of divine light and grace, be brought into the knowledge of the truth. And Scripture is quite clear that the meaning of that phrase, the operating power of divine light and grace, is receiving the gospel. That's stated all over and over again in the New Testament, that to receive divine light is to receive the gospel. And so that is a straightforward interpretation of that statement, of that phrase used. Now, one could argue that it's somewhat ambiguous, but doesn't clearly teach that people who are invincibly ignorant of the church can be saved. That would be heresy. And furthermore, it's not infallible. So the other statement of Pius IX that they like to use is from Singulare Quadem, where Pius IX says that those who are in invincible ignorance are not held guilty in this matter in the eyes of the Lord. That's true. As I was saying earlier, the people who are the pagans on the island who haven't heard of the gospel, they're not held guilty in the matter of rejecting the gospel. They're held guilty for their other sins. So that's a separate issue. And so we were going to continue with the next clip here.
And 60 years ago, in February of this year, was he excommunicated by the Holy Father Pius XII. He denied, as do his followers today, that there is any such thing as baptism of desire and baptism of blood, that there is any consideration given by the good God to those who are invincibly ignorant for the matter of their salvation, and summed up his doctrine by saying it is water or damnation. You're not baptized with water, you or someone you know is going straight to hell.
Here we see that he dishonestly asserts that all who reject baptism of desire are, quote, Feniites, or followers of Father Feni, even though this was the majority view of the early church, who rejected the idea that catechumens who desired baptism could be saved. And this idea of water or damnation doesn't come from Father Feni. It comes from Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, verse 5. Unless a man is born again of water and the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the Council of Trent anathematized anyone who distorts that literal meaning into some sort of metaphor, like this heretic we're listening to right now. And as far as this being original or new, as we quote, and yet these heretics never seem to learn, St. Gregory Nazianzen rejected baptism of desire. Okay, he was a 4th century early church father, one of the greatest. He's considered the theologian. In fact, the liturgy says that his writings are without error. And yet these heretics lie and pervert people's faiths by asserting that this was something that Father Feni came up with, when he's simply repeating what the infallible definitions of the church have said. So we're going to continue with the next clip.
Now, the Holy Father spent one whole summer at Castel Gandolfo, I think it was 1948, going over line by line the response he made to this bold Jesuit for daring to raise his voice against the church's magisterium. And we have the response today. There's no question or discussion about it, or at least there ought not to be.
This is very interesting. Dolan here is referring to Suprema Hac Sacra, the 1949 letter from two members of the Holy Office against Father Feni. Archbishop Cushing, who was the Bishop of Boston, wrote in to the Holy Office asking about what Feni was saying, primarily about his teaching that all who die as non-Catholics are lost. Now, Father Feni was making many converts. He was stirring up a lot of controversy because, as we've pointed out, prior to Vatican II, almost all of the priests had fallen into a denial of this dogma. They started to believe that you don't have to be Catholic. Okay, and this actually paved the way for the wholesale apostasy we saw at Vatican II. So his simple reiteration that you actually have to be Catholic, it really means that, brought upon him all kinds of resistance. And so Cushing, this Freemasonic man of the year, he was actually B'nai B'rith man of the year, wrote to Rome about Feni. And he was responded to by Cardinal Marchetti Salvigiani and Cardinal Ottaviani, saying that no, what Father Feni says is wrong, etc., and that you can be saved through invincible ignorance, through implicit baptism of desire, without actually being a member of the body of the church. All this contradicts Catholic teaching. And the conclusion of the mainstream media and the public was that they're saying that outside the church there's no salvation is now false. And Dolan says that this, quote, bold Jesuit had dared to raise his voice against the church's magisterium. Yet, if that's true, that letter, which obviously isn't infallible, as even Monsignor Joseph Clifford Fenton admitted, 12th did not solemnly approve it at all. Okay, it was approved in common form, and that's why this recent article we published on geocentrism is so important, because it shows that the acts against Galileo and against those who would deny that the earth is the center of the universe are much more authoritative than what was done against Father Feeney. So if this hypocritical heretic, Bishop Dolan, wants to hold this position and promote it, he's going to have to hold that all who deny that the earth is the center of the universe are heretics. Does he hold that? I don't believe that at all. He would have to hold that all the theologians, okay, in the last 100 years or whatever, who held that the earth is not the center of the universe, were teaching heresy. But he wouldn't hold that. And that's why these people are such hypocrites.
And also talks about not sitting in judgment of others, but quite hypocritically, you can see that he's actually judging that those who hold the correct position, that you have to be a baptized Catholic, are heretics, that they're not Catholics. We would also like to know, does he hold that Cardinal Cushing of Boston, who boasted that he never even made it one convert to the Catholic faith, does he think that he was a Catholic? Does he sit in judgment of him? Or does he just sit in judgment of those who are trying to convert people to the Catholic faith and tell people that you need to be baptized? That's what is very interesting. And also the fact that when Father Feeney was actually preaching this in the Boston area, you had other so-called Jesuit priests that were talking about how they had a problem with Father Feeney preaching that there's no salvation outside the church. So it was really about this issue, that there's no salvation outside the church. It didn't really even get into the issues of the denial of baptism and desire and blood until a few years after he started to preach that there is no salvation outside the church. So I'd like to know if Bishop Dolan, and he'd probably say, well, I don't know, or I don't sit in judgment of those people, Cushing and these other priests who said that they don't believe in no salvation outside the church. He probably wouldn't even judge them. But you can see, quite hypocritically, he judges those who are telling people that you have to be Catholic and to be baptized to be saved.
And so we were going to continue with the next clip.
The danger that is done by this false teaching is immense today. Already in the 1950s, did it prepare the way for the confusion that reigns today amongst traditional Catholics?
This is precisely the opposite of the truth. As we were just pointing out, it was precisely people like Bishop Dolan who reduced this dogma to a meaningless formula, who left people with the confusion that outside the church there's no salvation does not mean necessarily that non-Catholics can't be saved. Therefore, we don't know. It's just a completely gray area. The Jew could be in good faith, the Buddhist could be in good faith, so there's no real urgency. There's no real necessity to bring them into the church. And this is proven that it was heretics like Dolan who paved the way for the confusion we're seeing now, not people who held what Father Feeney held and what Catholics should hold. This is proven in section 32 of our book on salvation called The Heretics Testify. And there's this Novus Ordo Jesuit named Father Mark Massa who wrote a book called Catholics in American Culture, pointing out how Father Feeney was combating this revolution in Catholic thinking that was occurring, that these people started to now believe that non-Catholics didn't need to be Catholic. And I'm going to quote his book, pages 32 and 33. He says, long before 1965, in other words, before the end of Vatican II, most North American Catholics had ceased to believe that their good Protestant and Jewish neighbors were going to eternal ruin at death, invincibly ignorant or not. Leonard Feeney had recognized as early as 1945 this quiet but quite important revolution in Catholic thinking about boundaries between Catholics and the North American culture. So he's pointing out, he's a Novus Ordo priest who's giving, in this case, an honest assessment of what happened, that Feeney was combating this new heretical mindset that these people didn't have to be Catholic. So it was heretics like Dolan who paved the way for the confusion and the apostasy that we're now seeing. And that's why, actually, if you ask any Novus Ordo priest about salvation, they're all going to agree with Dolan on this issue. They're all going to give a similar answer.
And one other interesting point is that Dolan, Father Chicata, Bishop Sanborn, CMRI, Society Pius V, numerous other independent priests will all criticize the post-Vatican II Church for their ecumenism. And they will be right in doing so. But what's so ironic is that they talk about how the Vatican II Church promotes these religions that worship devils, and they meet and pray with these false religious leaders. And, well, the bottom line is that these false traditionalists, such as Dolan and the others, have the same ultimate conclusion as the post-Vatican II Church, that while they're against the activity of ecumenism on earth, they still believe that these people who embrace these false religions, that practice these false religions, can be saved or and will be saved. And so who really, I mean, is there that much of a difference? No, because they believe that these people practicing the false religions can still go to heaven. So that's what people need to understand.
And so we were going to go to the next clip.
For if you posit that the Church, Rome, in an official document, could teach error, why then you never know who to trust or who to believe. You've destroyed the Church's infallibility, and that is a doctrine of devils.
This is just outrageous hypocrisy. He talks about destroying the Church's infallibility. We have a solemn definition from the Council of Florence stating that all who die as Jews, pagans, heretics, etc., are lost. He completely rejects that. In fact, I'm going to read a quote a little later from his colleague, Bishop Sanborn, who explicitly says that pagans and idolaters can be saved. That's not a doctrine of devils. But holding what the Council of Florence teaches is a doctrine of devils, according to this devilish heretic.
And also, Bishop Sanborn told a person we know named Keith McKay from Michigan. He had a meeting with Bishop Sanborn, I think it was about a year or two ago, and he said, "You're telling me, Bishop Sanborn, that a rabbi who rejects Christ can be saved?" And he said, "Yes."
And Father Chicata, in his debate in The Remnant with apostate Brian Harrison brought up, in defense of the Vatican II's teaching that Protestant religions are a means of salvation in the Decree on Ecumenism, number 3, Brian Harrison said, "Well, only Fenians, all who die outside the Church, are lost." And Chicata responded, "Well, yes, individuals can be saved, but not their religions." Meaning, it's okay to say that non-Catholic individuals can make it, just as long as you don't say that they made it because of their religions.
And he's talking about who can we trust if we can't trust what's coming from Rome. We have to follow whatever is coming from Rome. Well, as he pointed out earlier, you're in a devastating dilemma because you're going to have to believe that the earth is the center of the universe, therefore. And that is the devastating dilemma that they're in. Okay, so where's your trust now? We have all these proclamations coming from Rome, from theologians, from other commissions, from St. Robert Bellarmine, who's saying it's de fide to believe in geocentrism. Why doesn't he hold that?
And so we were going to continue with the next clip.
There is no salvation outside the Church, but we must understand this doctrine properly. The Fenians on the one hand, and then we have the liberal modernists on the other, both of them misunderstand it. And what a shame, and what a tragedy it is. Finally, there is great confusion caused amongst Catholics and non-Catholics by the false application of this, and how off-putting it is to those who might be able to be led into the Church to be told, "You and all your family are going straight to hell."
This is very interesting. He says that it's off-putting to tell people, non-Catholics, that they and their family are going to hell, obviously, if they would remain and die outside the Church, and you tell them that in charity. Well, he's just ridiculing not only the traditional saints of the Church, but the dogma. And I'll just read a quote from St. Fulgens, 526 AD, Father of the Church. "Hold most firmly and never doubt in the least that not only all the pagans, but also all the Jews and all the heretics and schismatics who end this present life outside the Catholic Church are about to go into the eternal fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But that's off-putting, according to this heretic. And I want to read another quote from an interesting book called The Wise Man from the West, which I might comment on a little later. And it talks about how when the Franciscans and the Dominicans arrived in China, here's what they did. Their method of evangelizing was direct, uncompromising, and took little account of the different psychology of the people to whom it was addressed. The mendicants walked through the streets holding up crucifixes, and when a crowd gathered, preached in public, very often through interpreters. The Spaniards among them did not hesitate to proclaim that all the long line of Chinese emperors were burning in hell. And so that's what they preached, because they believed that it was necessary, and they wanted to inform people in charity that it was necessary to be Catholic. But that's off-putting, according to a heretic who doesn't believe in this truth. So we were going to continue with the next clip.
I knew once of a case of an individual who was quite ill and was seemingly sincerely received into the Catholic faith. Then some Fenians came to call upon this person with all their documentation, sort of like the Mormons with the Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door almost, and so confused this individual with thoughts of the assurance that all of this person's relatives were burning in hell that this person apostatized and died outside the church due to just that mischief-making by heretics.
Well, first of all, we see the animosity that he has toward the truth and toward those who promote the truth. That's because he has a deep-seated rejection and unbelief. And so he has a hatred, an evil hatred of this dogma and of those who promote it. And so he compares people who are aggressively trying to convert people and preach this truth to Jehovah's Witnesses, which is outrageous. But it's interesting, as he describes this person, if these events occurred as they say, and who knows, I mean, you're dealing with a heretic, so he may have distorted what happened with this man or woman, but if this person truly lost the faith and his or her intention to convert because people were informing of the truth that you have to be a Catholic and that it's necessary, then that person wasn't of goodwill. That person didn't supernaturally believe in the doctrines of the church or the church's infallibility. And so that person didn't have the grace of faith and rejected it. And so that's just a false convert, just like the EWTN false converts on the journey home who say they've accepted the Catholic faith, but you know, tell us how their Protestant, you know, family, they're going to see them in heaven.
And also like the false converts who claim to hold even the traditional Catholic positions, but travel to a different part of the country where some people believe differently on some issues and are willing to change their positions. That's a false convert. And those people can say that they've done a lot of good work in helping people, even bringing people information on the Catholic faith. It won't matter ultimately for that particular individual person because he's still going to lose his soul if he's willing to compromise and change his position based upon where he's speaking or who he's speaking to. That's a person that worships man, that doesn't worship God.
And so we're going to continue with the next clip.
Heresy seems to be just one idea that's out of kilter. The Greek to choose, one chooses a different idea. And the Fenians would say, well, ours is the only true interpretation. But when they or any heretic denies what the church teaches, they are denying the Holy Ghost himself. By refusing a prerogative to the church, they are in reality refusing to submit their intellects and their wills to God who reveals their...
And that's precisely the opposite of the truth. It's heretics like himself and his heretical priestly friends who refuse to submit to the dogmatic definitions on the church. They have no faith in Jesus Christ. They don't believe Christ is necessary. They don't believe that he protects the definitions of the church from error. And I'm going to read this quote from Bishop Donald Sanborn, a priest with whom he's in working communion. He said, quote, if by some mystery of providence and predestination they, pagans and idolaters, are united to the soul of the church and by desire to its body, it is in spite of their paganism and idolatry. It is due to an invincible ignorance of their error. So he's saying pagans and idolaters can be saved by being united to the church. That directly contradicts what Pope Eugene IV, he said, all the pagans are lost. And so he rejects what the Holy Ghost has taught through the church. And yet he perversely makes it seem as if those who adhere to it reject what the Holy Ghost has taught. You're listening to a true heretic at work, a true minister of Lucifer. We're going to continue with the next clip.
They're slamming the door in the face of the office of the Holy Ghost, which is to teach us, because the Catholic Church cannot err in matters of faith or of morals. Anything which is taught by the Church is infallibly true. This is the bedrock on which we Catholics rest and rest secure. The only way for heretics is to humble themselves and to return to the Church. Today is the birthday of the Catholic Church, and we should be proud to be Catholics. However, unless we are humble, we will not stay Catholics for very long. There are two things that are required to stay in the boat, the bark of Peter, and not to face shipwreck as those who are maneuvering this horrible Masonic conspiracy against our church so earnestly desire. The one of them is humility, to accept all that the church teaches. Just stay with the church. Nothing original, please. Believe as our fathers have believed, and it is enough for us. And the second of these, after humility, is hatred. To have a hatred of heresy, not to tolerate it in any way or any sense. I've told the story before. Indulge me if you've heard it. I remember as a boy, this was just before the changes, I was in a Catholic grade school in Detroit, the Dominican sisters teaching. And one day, sister announced to our class that there were some heretic nuns going door to door selling their literature, the St. Benedict Center stuff. Some of you may even have this in your homes. And this good sister warned us to have nothing to do with this woman and not to receive any of her literature. And I remember at the time being shocked, and I've never gotten over that feeling. I can remember it still today, as though it were just yesterday. A nun who is a heretic. What a thought. How could this be?
It's interesting, as you were pointing out recently, that didn't you read something where Dolan said that the only theological difference with Lefebvre and the Society of St. Pius X was with regard to the Vatican II Church?
Yes, actually said that in a sermon he gave, which I actually heard, and basically was talking about Bishop Williamson, when he was at that time Father Williamson, and Archbishop Lefebvre, that they had a meeting with Bishop Dolan and Father Chicada, maybe some other people possibly. And in this discussion, it was all about the sed vacantis issue. If they could sort of come to agreement on that issue, that the chair of Peter is presently vacant, that would settle everything. They were in complete agreement on everything, every other issue. So it was all about the sed vacantis issue, and they obviously are in agreement on the issue of, you know, baptism not absolutely being necessary for salvation, and obviously natural family planning.
And so he doesn't regard the nuns of the Society of St. Pius X as heretics, even though their materials are filled with statements like this. Souls can be saved in a religion other than the Catholic religion, Protestantism, Islam, Buddhism, etc. That's in Against the Heresies, page 216, sold by the Society of St. Pius X. So probably almost 100% of their nuns believe that. But those nuns aren't heretics. But this nun he portrays is totally evil, a heretic ready to snatch souls away, when in reality he's the one snatching souls away and corrupting people's faith.
And I actually don't understand it. I mean, it's almost every person you speak to that goes to one of these so-called traditionalist priests or bishops, and you tell them, do you know that they believe people in other religions can be saved? No, they don't believe that. I've been going there for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I mean, I've been listening just a few of their sermons. It's quite clear their heretical positions, that they believe people in other religions can be saved. It's time to wake up.
And people wonder why we've denounced these groups. This is why, okay, because these people are true heretics, and they need to be denounced. And sadly, what Dolan says, even though he's a little more aggressive than some of them, what he believes is what almost 100% of these priests actually believe. And so we were going to continue with the next clip.
As though if somehow we just have a Latin mass of some kind, all else is well. And too bad for the Holy Ghost and the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church.
Again, just a quick comment. We see the perversion as if he's dedicated to the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church when that's exactly what he's trashing. We're going to go to the next clip.
I heard a story just recently from a Catholic about my age who grew up in Boston just during then the time of this controversy in the 1950s. And he told me how the sermons every Sunday, week after week, were always on these same themes of the Church's infallibility, what baptism of desire means or baptism of blood and the rest of it, because the Church had this zeal to root out heresy.
He says that preaching baptism of desire constantly is a sign of zeal to root out heresy. And this is just amazing, considering that 99.9% of the people we've dealt with who believe in baptism of desire, including Bishop Dolan, hold that baptism of desire means that it's possible for Buddhists, Jews, pagans, etc. to be saved. It's faith destroying. It's evangelization killing. And yet he perversely and wickedly promotes it as if it represents zeal to root out heresy. And Lefebvre himself, in the quote I just read, where he says souls can be saved in Protestantism, Islam, Buddhism, and goes on to say this is baptism of desire. And so we were going to continue with the next quote.
And he told me that he too remembers in grade school being told by the nuns, if you are approached by any of these Feeneyites, you must have nothing at all to do with them. And he said he remembers once as a boy meeting a Feeneyite nun on the street, and she looked like a nun, but what made him a little suspicious was that she was awfully friendly. In the old days, the nuns were very strict and very reserved.
Notice how the heretic dishonestly implies that this nun was not strict or that she was lax because she was friendly. Just wanted to make that quick comment, and we were going to go to the next clip.
And so she got out a book to give him, and he took the book for just a moment, and then he looked up at her and he said, "Sister, are you from Father Feeney?" And she smiled a big crocodile smile and said, "Why, yes, I am."
Again, we see the heretic making a sinister attempt to portray the nun's smile as even evil. I just want to make that point, and we're going to go on to the next clip.
And he thrust the book back at her, and he ran down the street as fast as he could. That is fortitude. That is piety. That is knowledge and fear of the Lord.
That was the end of the clips we were going to play from Dolan and his assault on the necessity of the Catholic faith for salvation and those who adhere to it. And in it we see the hatred of the truth, the perversion of the truth, the lying, the faith-destroying conclusions, which leaves a person in a state of nebulous confusion by which we don't know who's saved, we can't judge, we leave it up to God, even though the Church has commanded us to believe that all who die as non-Catholics are lost. The real evil thing is not believing in the possibility that a Jew who rejects Christ might make it, or that a Muslim who hates the Church might make it, or that some snake worshiper might make it. It's believing that you have to be baptized and be Catholic. That's the real heresy. That's the root cause of this apostasy. That's the heresy to be destroyed in this wicked perversion of the truth. And it's worth mentioning and necessary to mention that those who don't denounce someone like this are evil. Because like there's another traditionalist speaker who's promoting this guy. Okay, if you affiliate yourself with this guy, you will be condemned. That's... You are rejecting Christ, okay, you're rejecting the dogma. So you can claim to stand for other truths, okay, but you are promoting heresy.
And now that someone has heard that he denounces as heretics those who hold that you have to be a baptized Catholic to be saved, to even receive the sacraments from this guy at this point in time, or once a person has gotten this information, is to lose your soul. It's just that simple. If someone who's claiming to be a traditionalist bishop or priest denounces as heretical the position that you need to be a baptized Catholic to be saved, you cannot receive the sacraments from him. And so that's something, and even with the guys who hold the position and believe in baptism of desire and blood and salvation for non-Catholics, if they denounce as being heretics those who hold the correct Catholic position that you need to be baptizing Catholic, then they wouldn't even be options to receive the sacraments, and certainly you could never give them a penny, those particular persons. And someone should find out and ascertain whether and what they exactly believe on these particular issues, because you might very well find out that they hold the same position as this heretic Bishop Dolan, or a very similar position, that I think you may very well be a heretic if you hold that position. You shouldn't even go, then, if it comes down to that.
And so, since he's affiliated with Bishop Sanborn, Father Tricotta, okay, those priests should be shunned completely. And obviously the Society of St. Pius V would fall into the same category, and we've mentioned that in the past.
And even with some of these guys that you maybe might be able to go to, I wouldn't even come to, if you want to receive communion from them, I wouldn't even arrive on time. I'd come like 10, 20 minutes into their mass. And if you want to maybe walk in there and walk in the line, receive communion, kneel down in the back or something, or look through the window and wait till he distributes communion and then go up and receive and then maybe go to confession, possibly for that. But you need to find out whether they hold the position that belief in that you need to be a baptized Catholic to be saved. If they think it's heretical, if they think you may not be a Catholic for holding that, don't receive the sacraments from them at all. And if they tolerate your position, or they just think maybe you're wrong but not a heretic, yes, it's possible to receive the sacraments from them. But if you contribute anything to them, you've committed a grave sin. You will lose your soul, because you're supporting heretics. You're supporting a person that doesn't hold the right positions, and also a group that funds and publishes books and literature to tell people how people can be saved outside the church, or there is baptism of desire and blood, or you can use natural family planning.
And so this dogma is not stood up for, and almost everyone is denying it, and it's something where a lot of people can claim to be against the Vatican II Church, but if they accept a heretic like this, then they're just phonies.
Yeah, and to mention some of the other so-called traditionalist bishops, Bishop McKenna says that the definition from the Council of Florence is a warning. It's not so much a solemn judgment or statement, I think he said, but it's a warning.
Yeah, and he's explicitly said that Father Dennis Fahey's statement that Jews who reject Christ can be in the state of grace, he says that's not heresy. So he agrees that a Jew who rejects Christ could be saved. As I've asked so many others, and these people are such liars, and you can see why they go to hell forever. And you can see why these people are condemned, because they don't love the truth, they hate the truth. And I've asked so many people about the statement of Father Dennis Fahey, do you reject this statement as heretical, where he says Jews who reject Christ can be in the state of grace? And again, these dishonest people deny that he's saying that, because they're too cowardly, they're too dishonest to simply admit that it is heretical, that this priest, who they otherwise thought was so good, could have taught such a horrible heresy. And so they deny the truth and lie. And this applies not only in this issue, on another issue. For instance, a book that was recently written against homosexuality.
Yeah, actually, it's a book by Randy Engel called The Rite of Sodomy. And I actually had a chance to go through her book. And she is someone, actually, I spoke to. She called here a year or two ago and was asking some questions about Brother Joseph, our founder. And what was interesting is that I asked her, I said, I don't remember the exact words, but I asked her if she thought that these guys, these claimants to the papacy are Catholic, and she said no. Didn't believe that they're popes. She agreed that they're heretics at this time that I'm talking to her. And claimed to hold that you had to be a Catholic to be saved. And she actually put a section on in defense of Father Feeney in her book, which, you know, obviously I was glad to see. And she probably has more knowledge about homosexuality and sex education than just about anyone, at least in the United States, perhaps the whole world. And it's copiously documented. It's about, I don't know how many, 1,300 pages. It's just a massive work all about this stuff, in which she's giving detailed information to prove that virtually almost every single bishop in the United States of America, just maybe not every one of them, but a goodly portion of them, are outright homosexuals or covered up for other homosexual priests that were pederasts, pedophilia, that actually engaged in this stuff. And she covers and gives you all the history behind all of it, just detailed information that proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt that these guys are homos, they're involved with pedophilia, covering up for other pedophiles, other homosexual priests, shifting them around parish to parish, and the massive payouts that they had to make to people who filed lawsuits against the different dioceses of different cities across the country for being abused sexually by the priests of that diocese and their negligence and culpability in those actions. And so I'm reading through all of this, and I'm remembering from what I recall her telling me that she agreed that, you know, these guys are heretics and so forth. And yet she never says once that I see outright that these guys don't have any jurisdictional authority. They're outside the church. These guys are heretics and apostates. I don't think she uses the term once. Every time she mentions these anti-popes, she calls them pope. Basically, I think it's every single time she puts His Holiness, Pope so-and-so, His Eminence, and other places for other people, Bishop so-and-so. You have to state that these guys are not Catholics at all, that they have no authority in the Catholic Church, because otherwise, ironically, the book is called The Rite of Sodomy. What you're saying is that it's actually, you can actually promote homosexuality and be a Catholic, according to her. That's the conclusion, absolutely, that you draw from reading this book, that in spite of all the evidence, other homos, covering up for other guys, the bottom line is that she believes that these guys hold jurisdiction in the Catholic Church, that they have a lawful authority in the Catholic Church, that they are Catholics, they have legitimate authority, etc. And so therefore, what she's saying is that you can promote homosexuality, you can engage in it, you can think it's fine and okay, and you can be a Catholic. You can be inside the church, have jurisdiction, and this is the authority of the Catholic Church that promotes this stuff. It's really an abomination.
And the primary outrage, I believe, is the fact that she inserted the name Pope when she told you that she didn't believe that they were popes. Okay, so she compromised what she claimed to hold simply to make her material more palatable. She put a falsehood in there by calling them popes, calling them His Holiness.
Now, maybe she's changed her position recently, but as we saw with the case of Attila Gomarez, who you spoke to several years ago and got him on the phone, and you asked him, do you think that they're popes? And what did he say again?
He said, we must take into account the psychology of the people. And so he indicated, if I recall correctly, that he wasn't sure that they were popes.
And yet in every single book he publishes, he affirms that these guys have legitimate authority in the Catholic Church, that they're true claimants to the papacy, they're inside the Catholic Church. This is just serving man. This is serving Satan. And it's actually, a lot of them do it not because they don't know the truth. I mean, because you're talking about some people that have a high level of intelligence in a lot of other ways. But when it comes to putting out a book Are they going to give you the full truth? No. They're going to compromise so that they can get their stuff published in different magazines that are circulated maybe more, or so more people accept their book, or maybe give 90% of the truth. Now, you can't do that. And see, what all these people do is they actually worship man when they do that, and they don't worship God. And they're not going to be rewarded for their efforts. They're actually going to lose their souls because they're lying.
Yeah, there's so much lying going on. They just can't tell the truth. She can't just affirm what she claimed her position was, that these guys are not popes. But they have to lie because they're liars. And it's really an outrage. And also the point about mountains of evidence to prove that these guys are homosexuals and promoters of homosexual abomination. And it's almost like proving that there's all this vomit everywhere from all these people. Okay, but because she concludes that these people still have authority, it's almost like drinking up all their vomit. Because she can present 1,000 pages of evidence that these guys promote homosexuality, but if her conclusion is that he's still His Excellency and His Holiness and not even a heretic, then she's just committing the maximum folly.
And it makes her whole book worthless. And actually it does an evil, because if you don't tell them, which she didn't tell them, that these guys are not Catholics, that they hold no authority, then you're affirming that these guys that promote these evils are still Catholics, that you have to actually, yes, they have valid authority. If they have valid authority, then you have to, in their legitimate actions, submit yourself to them. And you have to uphold, because that's what she's upholding in her book, that these guys are in the Catholic Church and therefore have the Catholic faith.
And it's ironic because, therefore, the rite of sodomy is almost a rite of the Catholic Church. Because her book is obviously to attack that concept, that this has been constructed as essentially a liturgical rite. But if she doesn't point out that these people aren't part of the Catholic Church who are promoting this and endorsing this, essentially, one could say that, yes, there is a rite of sodomy in the Catholic Church if these guys are the authorities of the Catholic Church.
And one other point that people need to realize, too, is that you even have some actually people who claim to be traditionalist priests and bishops that may or are homosexuals themselves. I remember several years ago, there's a Bishop Adamson from San Francisco, California, and we actually, he's very friendly, and I spoke to him maybe once on the phone, or maybe more than once, and he was very friendly and even thought well of a lot of things that we were doing this many years ago. And so we recommended some people to go to his Mass, and a lady called us that was going there frequently and said, I don't know if you want to recommend people to his chapel because he has a homosexual living at his place. And so I stopped telling people, and the people that I knew who were going there, I told them, you don't want to go there because he's, you know, lying. This guy is a flaming homo to live in his place, or something that was really bad and an egregious violation of and wrong, and he shouldn't have been allowing, and he did allow. So anyway, he calls up, and he said, I've heard you've been saying some bad things about me. And I said to him point blank, well, I was told by a lady who goes to your chapel that you have a homosexual living at your place. And he responded immediately, I don't know what his sexuality is, and it doesn't matter, or something like that. And so I just asked him, I said, are you a homosexual? And he goes, that's none of your business. I asked the guy if he's a homosexual, and he says, it's none of my business. This is a guy who claims to be a traditionalist Catholic bishop, who says the Society Pius X is wrong for not being under, you know, the bishops, and he's right about saying that. But ironically, I asked the guy if he's a homo, and he says, it's none of my business. And so I told him, I said, well, therefore you are. And so he listened as I told him that he could come out of this, and... But he's not a strong set of a contest, because I had heard from another independent priest from Illinois who we went out to visit, and he asked the priest, would you like me to include John Paul II's name in the canon when I say Mass? So he wasn't obviously a strong traditionalist, but he claims to be a Sede Vacantis independent bishop. So you have to really call these guys up and find out and get to the bottom of it, of these issues, to find out exactly what they believe. I mean, it was just like when we talked about Bishop Sanborn. A lot of people said, no way, he doesn't believe that. Sure enough, he does. I mean, all I have to do is hear some of the sermons. These people completely dead? I mean, what's the matter with people?
Well, a lot of them believe the same thing themselves, but are just too dishonest to admit it. So they want to cover for the priest because they're covering for their own dishonesty. But one other thing we were going to mention, since it is July 3rd, was that, as we've discussed in the past, we linked to some different tapes on 9/11, getting into the truth about what really happened on 9/11, and the facts are irrefutable. We encourage people to look at that. It's just a matter of speculation, but over the past few months, the mainstream media seems to have been conditioning the people of America to get ready for a biological terror attack in a major city.
Or some other major surprise attack.
Yeah, some kind of, quote, terror attack that to be ready for. And when you uncover or look into the facts about what really happened on 9/11, this can shed light on these other so-called terror attacks. And this conditioning of the people through the media came upon the scene at the same time that other supposed terror attacks had been foiled, that, you know, they stopped a potential terror attack, I think it was in Florida, and other ones in different parts of the country. And when people looked into those as well, they saw that there were many fishy details going on. These didn't appear to be terror attacks at all. This just seems to be propaganda. And what we believe may happen is that with this conditioning of the people to accept another major terror attack, and with the conditioning of the people that they've stopped these other terror attacks, that's to set up people to accept the fact that when a major so-called terror attack does occur, they can explain why it did happen. And it will be just like 9/11 in terms of who's really behind it.
One interesting point about the terror attack that they foiled in Florida, as they said, was that one of the possible targets was the Sears Tower in Chicago. I believe it's called the Sears Tower, and it's one of the, I think, tallest buildings in the world. Well, what's so interesting is when we actually heard about this, that was a possible target, the Sears Tower, and I found out that who's the lease owner on the Sears Tower, according to what I found out, is Larry A. Silverstein. And it was his three buildings that went down on 9/11. It just so happens that they're mentioning that one of the big targets that they were plotting to destroy or something like that, one of the main locations was the Sears Tower. So I found that very interesting. And also the stuff where they talk about they're picking up chatter. They're hearing chatter that there may be another attack. Well, I mean, we have satellites to identify license plate from outer space. They're telling me that they can't identify the source of the chatter?
It's just ridiculous. And furthermore, we mentioned this tonight because there's a high probability that it could occur tomorrow or later in the year. I mean, July 4th obviously would be a day that would draw a lot of attention to this event. And what's interesting tying into this is that Pat Robertson, the heretical non-Catholic televangelist, he said last year, and this was covered on the mainstream media, that he was, quote, told by God that in the year 2007 there would be a massive terror attack and millions, he said, would die. Now, obviously he's not speaking to God since he's a heretic, but it's interesting that he would make this statement. One possible reason is that he is an insider, and people have speculated that for years, and he's going to mention something about that, but one reason he might have made this statement, if he is an insider and has knowledge of this planned so-called terror attack, by telling him that this would happen and by him going on television saying that this would happen, it not only corroborates the, quote, official story in advance, it makes it seem much more legitimate to the public. And so it was very curious that he would say that in 2007, and you combine that with what the mainstream media is conditioning the people to accept, it could happen July 4th or later in the year.
And also the evidence that he actually is part of some of this, this power elite group that actually plots these very false flag terror operations is the fact that we have him on the cover of Time magazine giving the Masonic sign called the Lion's Paw. This may have been back in maybe 1986, somewhere around that time. And he's giving the clear sign, the Lion's Paw, on the cover of this magazine. I mean, there's no way that a person normally for a picture would put his hands in that kind of position. It's totally bizarre. And it's a perfect replication of the Lion's Paw Masonic symbol. And then also we have in his book, The Millennium, or Millennium, I forget what it's called exactly, he has a point within a circle on the very top of every single page of the whole book, which is a symbol for the Illuminati. And other people have gotten into the background of how did his whole network, it's so gigantic, how did it start? And people have actually delved into that, and they've said that he had connections to very powerful people in Washington, D.C., and so forth. And that's how some of these guys are out there, and they're the big players on the national stage because they're actually working for the enemy. And they've got to have some people that appear to be conservative, appear to be, quote, Christian, that are coming out so that they can control the whole population or those particular groups so that if they have to come out with a special message that they want to indoctrinate people with or control things, they make sure that they have their own guy in charge of those particular groups and organizations. Another example of that would be Billy Graham, who is now very sick. His wife just died. According to Jim Shaw, who was a former 33rd degree Freemason, he wrote a book about Freemasonry, I believe. And Dr. James Wardner, in his book Unholy Alliances, points out that when Jim Shaw was initiated into the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, which the 33rd degree, you cannot seek to become a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. You have to be chosen to become a member of the 33rd degree, and you're initiated at the House of the Temple, which is 13 blocks north of the White House, in which inside the building, by the way, we have pictures on the Abortion Rock Music and Freemasonry exposed video. There's serpents all over the inside of the building, the concealed swastikas on the inside. And so this is an elite group of people that are given over to the serpent, the devil. And so anyway, when Jim Shaw went to take his 33rd degree initiation, there was a person to help him along with his initiation who was none other than Billy Graham. And so that's a reason why, in fact, Billy Graham several years ago was asked about when the abortion controversy was raging, what side of the issue was he on? Does he think it's an important issue? And he started to say that he thought that the issue of the environment was actually the big issue, not abortion. The issue of how protecting our environment, something like that. It's just amazing. How can that happen? Because these guys are a false opposition that's set up by the other side to control what they deem to be conservative elements in America.
So don't be surprised if a false flag terror attack, major one, on similar to 9/11 or even bigger, were to happen later in this year or even, who knows, on a date like July 4. Or, we have no idea, but it seems to be pointing in the direction that they may want to do something like that. So it's interesting to consider.
So until next time, good night.